Welcome to Love or Obsession. My name is Queen the Host, and I'm going to tell you a story. Hey, y'all. What's going on? Hey, y'all. What's going on? How's everybody doing? How's everybody feeling? Me, myself, I'm a little tired, but we gonna get through this. Happy Tuesday morning. Did y'all miss me? I didn't record. I didn't publish. I didn't upload an episode, a podcast last Tuesday. I just hope that you miss me a little when I'm gone. I just hope that you miss me a little when I'm gone. Who noticed? Okay, it's just be like for people be like, you think your absence made such a difference, bitch? I didn't even notice you was gone. Okay, whoever noticed, thank you for noticing that I didn't record a podcast last Tuesday. Shout out to my sister Nuki, cause she show text me like, you late. I say, you know what? This episode I'm working on is just so much. I don't want to rush it. I don't want to cram it together. I'm just not going to record this week. And y'all know, in true Gemini form, I done said some shit and I didn't stand on it. Well, that's not true Gemini form, because I'm going to stand on everything that I say. Let me straighten up before y'all think that it's cool to play with me, and it's not. No, but when I was saying, like, I'll let y'all know if I need a little breaky break or whatever, I didn't give y'all no heads up, and I'm used to giving out heads ups and things like that. But I didn't give y'all no heads up. I just decided to take that Tuesday off. I think that's what I really get for trying to drop a bonus episode, that Mother's Day episode that I did for Sunday. And I was going to bring it right back Tuesday with a regular scheduled episode. It was just a lot going on, and I was still trying to get better. I am, like, better now. And I bet y'all was like, oh, you said that last time. Yeah, that I felt better, but I feel better now. You know, each day I'm feeling more better. But, yeah, though, so I didn't give y'all no heads up. My apologies for that. I don't plan on taking no Tuesdays off unless I do let y'all know ahead of time. So that goes to show y'all that was not planned at all. It was just some, I had to rebuke some stuff. Maybe I do need to get some sage going again up in here, because, you know, y'all know I was feeling some type of way about sage, feeling like it was having an adverse effect with me. But I don't know, y'all. I feel like any spells, incantations, anything that's ungodly and anything that's meant to harm me, I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Because I've just been feeling like, what is up on me? I need to get it up off me. Like, I've been feeling too tired for no reason. Some would blame it on the COVID shot. And some would blame it on the smoky chokey. I don't know what to blame it on. I blame it on not having enough rest. Shit, really though. I need a vacation. For real. I really enjoyed my Mother's Day, but if somebody really wanted to do something for me for Mother's Day, y'all should have came and got these kids up off my hands. That would have been an awesome Mother's Day. Just consider that for next time. Oh, yeah, too. You know what else I told y'all that I was going to do that I never did? I said I was going to try out HelloFresh, the meal kit, the meal prep kit. I didn't. But my cousin Cash Trim, shout out to her down in Louisiana. I think she in Louisiana. I really don't know her exact location. She probably don't want me to tell her nowhere. But anyway, Cash Trim, she have been doing all the HelloFresh meals. I guess you select your own meals. Her meals on her plate look exactly how the meals look on the box. She say that the food is delicious. She can cook herself too, so that's maybe how she get the food to look so good. Or maybe HelloFresh just true to what they be saying, you guys. Check them out if you're interested. They still don't sponsor me. I don't even know how to go about getting sponsors, but that's cool too. You know, I'm just here to tell a story every Tuesday. Everything else would just be an added bonus. Yeah, so shout out to my cousin Cash Trim. She is an Army veteran, her and her husband. 21 gun salute. I got 22s on my coop. Okay, you know what, y'all? You know what? Today's story is about the lottery, y'all. So how y'all feel about the lottery? Do y'all play the lottery? I dibble and dabble in the lottery a little bit, play a little scratch off here and there, a number here and there. You don't know something. When I play numbers in the lottery, though, I never play my birthday. And I see that everybody, like, playing your birthday is like a thing. Maybe you'll get lucky, but I never play my own. And speaking of my birthday, today is May 18th. My birthday is May 29th. It's next week, you guys. It's Memorial Day weekend. It's always around Memorial Day weekend. So when you think about Memorial Day weekend, think of me. Sometimes it even falls on Memorial Day. You know, it's coming, y'all. And all I want for my birthday is to have my website up and published. And at this point, it is in its final stages. I was waiting for somebody to help me, but I took the reins and just decided to do it myself, as I always do, you guys. I don't play no games when it comes to my personal business and things that I've invested so much in and things that I care so much about. And this podcast, my dear God, thank you, book, my enlightenment, everything that I'm doing is near and dear to my heart. It's so important. And it's not even me that's doing it. That's how I know that it's the calling that God has on my life. I'd be astonished and amazed my damn self when I complete something. I did that. You know, like, I'd be shocked myself. So I'm going to just say thank you, God, for that. Okay. So, yeah. So this story is about the lottery. Now, these people wasn't in love. We supposed to be in love. It ain't no breaking up when you supposed to be in love. That's that Kevin Gates. It ain't no breaking up. He sounds like, I thought it was legal to beat your bitch. That was a part of the song that I probably should have left out, but he explained himself behind that, and I don't think he was talking about domestic violence anyway. So the motive of this story was about that love or obsession of that cash money, baby. For the love of money, gotta make that money, money, money. For the love of money. And that's that Bone Thugs and Harmony. Now, I'd have just sung like 4 or 5 songs before I get into the actual story. I'm actually in a story, in case y'all didn't tell. I'm probably just singing too much. I'm finna get back to it. I missed y'all. Can y'all tell that I missed y'all? And before I go any further, Christine from And That's Why We Drink Podcast, y'all, she's pregnant. We wishing her nothing but happiness and healthiness. Congratulations, Christine. And Blaze, that's Christine's husband. The whole And That's Why We Drink family over there. Congratulations to you guys. Nothing but happiness, love, and success. And you know, so I'm going to stop mentioning people too, y'all. I said that before that I'm going to stop mentioning people. clearly, I'm hard-headed. Because a lot of people just don't like to be mentioned, whether good or bad. People just be like, oh my God, why is this bitch mentioning me? But yeah, congratulations. That's all I'm going to say. I love y'all. That's it. Okay. So this story is about that love or obsession of that cash money. And I'm talking about the shenanigans and antics of a head Casey individual known as Doris Dee Dee Moore. I just played around with her first name a little bit. It's like Doris, though. Dee Dee Moore. And with her, I couldn't tell if she was really off her rocker or if she was just playing like many people try to do. And when it comes to mental illness, I'm real sensitive about the subject, because it's nothing like not being able to control your own thoughts in your mind. And that's real scary. And, you know, for people to pretend like they suffer when they don't, it's bogus and it's evil, because it's like you trying to mimic how you feel a person with mental illness will act. You trying to portray that. Now, it's one thing I noticed about Dee Dee and all the other murderers. They talk a lot. They talk, you know, like they like to talk themselves out of trouble. They could talk themselves right back into trouble. But yeah, I don't understand. So I don't understand if she was really suffering from mental illness or if she was just playing and pretending. And like I said, it's rude and it's wrong to pretend like you're suffering from a mental illness when you're not. And I've been covering a couple of Dee Dee's these past stories. The Dee Dee's been a name. And It reminds me of my oldest friend, my oldest childhood friend, D'Angela Didi. I met the girl when I was 7, you guys. Both of us were 7. I used to always hang in the backyard, my grandfather, just chilling, doing, you know, being in the yard. We had clotheslines. My grandfather had a garden for a little bit, so he used to tend to those things. My grandmother told me a long time ago about married life. She say, people think it's all fun and games until both of you just laying in the bed waiting for each other to get up first in the morning, you know, to tend to the kids, tend to the house, whatever. But yeah, and Didi, she used to come down with her father, Bobby, a lot. And we just used to be standing there mugging each other, just looking at each other all crazy, not saying a thing. And because I didn't know her at all. And one day, and I used to just come down to my grandparents' house every weekend, so I didn't live down there on the block. Didi did, though. And I wanted to talk to her one day, and I just end up not saying anything. You guys ever had that feeling where initially, where you want to say something to somebody and you feel like the initial moment passed, so there's no need of saying anything past that initial moment? But you know, I guess she wanted to talk to me too, because that next day she came down there and we just staring at each other, and she said something, and of course, you know, we just talking to each other with a little attitude in our voice, but it wasn't nothing. Did she said, "You my friend," and I said, "I'm your friend if you my friend," and shit, we became friends, and we've been friends ever since. No, but no, really though, that's how we became friends. You know, every friendship, every long friendship, of course, we had our ups and downs, but I got nothing but love for the girl. It used to be times where I'd be sitting on my grandma's porch, and she'd walk right past. We wouldn't say nothing to each other because we was going through our not talking to each other phase. You know, but that's women, that's girls, that's real friends, that's life, that's how people do. But everything good at this point. But yeah, I was just mentioning my Didi and my life. Okay, so I'm going to start with the victim, who is Abraham Lee Shakespeare. He was born April 24th, 1966, in Lakeland, Florida, a suburb of Tampa. His mother said that he was a good person with a good heart. If he was still around, that's something that she want him to know, like, you a good person with a good heart. He dropped out of school in 7th grade, and he served time in jail after being convicted of a string of burglaries. Okay, so he was a good person. He just probably just made some bad decisions about himself. He went from washing dishes and other odd jobs to an overnight millionaire. With his last $5, he brought 2 quick pick lotto tickets and gave the remaining $3 to a stranger that was asking for money to help feed his 5 kids. And Abraham said, quote, "I pulled out my wallet and showed the man that I had $3, my last $3, and I gave it to him. By that time, I was a millionaire and didn't even know," end quote. And that was the quote from Abraham, just speaking about his winnings. Now, y'all know when they say it's a curse attached to the lottery. You win all that money and you don't live to enjoy it, or somehow, some way, you end up right back broke. And for Abraham, the curse caught up with him too. People be thinking $1 million lasts a lifetime. And I say, yeah, if you practice money management and smartly invest or something like that. But when you have money and you steady and constantly spending it or giving it away and don't have no money coming in, all money just going out, that money go dwindle and dwindle. Now, Abraham won $30 million in the Florida lotto, but he opted for the lump sum and received $17 million. As the saying goes, more money, more problems. I don't know what they want from me. It's like the more money we come across, the more problems we see. Okay, I'm going to try not to sing no more. I feel like that was just one more song too damn many, okay? But, Abraham said he would have really liked his old life back, where he could walk down the street like a normal person. That money had Abraham so sad and blue. So many people attached themselves until Abraham because of his newfound wealth. One man even sued Abraham because he said that he had given Abraham the $2 for the ticket. Abraham won in court because no one believed the accused story of Abraham stealing the tickets out of the man's wallet. Most of the lottery winnings went towards Abraham paying off mortgages of many family members and friends, even strangers. Abraham was like, God damn, these motherfuckers won't take no for an answer. And that was a direct quote. No, I'm just playing. He didn't say that. I said that. In the midst of being used and abused, Abraham meets a woman named Doris Dede Moore. She came into Abraham's life to help him manage his finances and to start a business. Dede was born July 25th, 1972. Classified a murderer. Where she come from, I don't know, meaning I don't know how they met, but she and Abraham launched a business together called Abraham Shakespeare LLC. So my problem with saying Abraham is every time I say Abraham, I immediately want to say Abraham Lincoln. So that's how I keep getting tongue-tied and caught up, but So Dee Dee launches a business with Abraham called Abraham Shakespeare LLC, giving herself control of the firm's funds, in which she withdrew $1 million and bought herself a Hummer, a Corvette, a truck, and also went on vacation. She later stated that Abraham gifted her all those things. And I didn't mention it earlier, but it was November 2006 when Abraham won a lottery. He moved into a gated community to show for his lottery winnings. Personally, Abraham had his $1 million home, a Nissan Altima, and a used Rolex that he got from the pawn shop. In November 2009, Abraham was reported missing by his family, and all his money was gone. In the missing persons report, Abraham's family stated that the last time they heard from him was around April that year. They initially thought that he was living it up on a beach somewhere in the Caribbean Sea. Abraham's body was found January 2010. Investigators got a tip that led them to the backyard of Dee Dee's boyfriend. Abraham's body was buried in 5 feet of dirt under a newly constructed concrete slab. Abraham Shakespeare was 43 and a father of two. Okay, now that's real sad for Abraham. It's like he won all his lottery money. He got all these people latched on to him. And then finally, the devil in a blue dress approached him and ruined his life. Detectives say that Abraham died April 6th or 7th inside a single-story ranch-style home in Plant City, Florida. And Dee Dee was taken into custody February 2nd, 2010. The judge set the bond at $1 million, and on February 19th is when she was arrested on charges of first-degree murder because they were just questioning her behind that. February 2nd arrests, because they was questioning her about, what was she being questioned for? Oh, they was being questioned because, oh, I'm gonna get to that. I'm jumping ahead of myself. Okay, you guys. Because the February 2nd day, she was charged with being an accessory to murder, but it was the 19th that she was charged with the actual murder. Okay, before Abraham's body was found, Dee Dee claimed Abraham decided to leave town, traveling to Texas, Jamaica, Puerto Rico, and Orlando. She told some people that he was sick in the hospital, and she also claimed that Abraham was tired of people asking him for money, so she helped him leave town. When Abraham went missing, Dee Dee continued to live in his home. She used his cell phone to text friends and family messages to have them believe that the messages were authentic. She even paid someone to call Abraham's mother to try to trick her mind into thinking that she was talking to her son. She knew the caller wasn't Abraham. The text message scheme did not work. People was calling Abraham illiterate because he dropped out of school in seventh grade. And with that, they were saying that it was no way that he was texting and spelling all the stuff that Dee Dee was putting in that message, trying to portray herself as Abraham. It just didn't make sense to them. Dee Dee was all over the place with her actions, too. She tried to pay someone $50,000 to take the blame for the murder. Girl, imagine somebody approaching you like, "Are you a killer? I got $50,000 for your family if you take the blame for the murder of this man." Girl, bye, okay? I don't even know who would even take you serious with a proposition like that. She allegedly offered one of his baby mamas a $200,000 home to say that she recently seen him, and also paid a family member of Abraham $5,000 to give Abraham's mother a birthday card that was supposed to been from Abraham. Whew, y'all, this is a lot. I swear, when will the fraud, schemes, and lies end? Because Dee Dee, that's why you can't be no liar, though. When you start telling lies, them little white lies, you got to tell another lie to back up that lie and another lie to back up that lie. And then when the lies start to get out of control, then you have to come with these schemes and all this fraud and all these drastic actions. All of this just because you started a little lie, and that lie that got bigger and larger than life, and now you don't know what to do. Just don't lie. That's all you got to do. It was noted that one scheme Dee Dee was behind was unrelated to Abraham, but it was still crazy, so I just decided to mention it. So before she even met Abraham, she got behind in payments of a Navigator truck. And so she staged a kidnapping, a carjacking, and claimed to be sexually assaulted just so she can get out of not paying for the car note. Investigators claimed that she taped her wrist and threw herself from someone else's moving vehicle. They said that she even took a rape exam and everything, knowing good and well that she was never sexually assaulted. For that, she pleaded no contest and received probation. So y'all, maybe Dee Dee was sick in the head a little bit doing all that. All that faking and pretending has to be exhausting. I can't even imagine. Dee Dee told stories of drug dealers killing Abraham. She then blamed a lawyer. And she even her own son, who was 14 years old at the time. She eventually said that she killed Abraham in self-defense, and that was her last stance on it. Dee Dee was sentenced to murder. This story was so suffocating to me, y'all. I don't know why it was so difficult to get through it. So I'ma just breathe. I'ma breathe, and I'ma just break it down using a court affidavit for probable cause. Okay, so at the taxes, Abraham collected $12.7 million from his lottery winnings. He opted out for the lump sum of $17 million. At the taxes, he collected $12.7 million. Then Abraham was sued by the coworker who had made claims to the winning ticket number. The court ruled in Abraham's favor. In October 2008, Dee Dee Moore was arraigned. She arranged to be introduced to Abraham to write a book about his life story. Okay, so that's how she got close to him. She said that she wanted to write a book about his life story. Because I'm like, where did she even come from? Okay, so that's how she got close to him. I'm like, she got... Dee Dee had no known training, no education, no experience in writing for publication. She soon became Abraham's financial advisor. So between winning the lottery in 2006 and meeting Dee Dee in 2008, Abraham had $1.5 million in cash and other assets totaling approximately $3 million. So in like 2 years, Abraham ran through like $9 million with the help of family and friends. Within 4 months of meeting Abraham, Dee Dee had control over the remaining $3 million in assets that he had, including cash, real property, and outstanding debts owed to Abraham. So it seemed like Abraham got a lot of bad advice and didn't make any investments. He was playing the cash on hand game. Dee Dee was supposed to be paying Abraham's property taxes. Do y'all think she was paying it? Yeah, exactly. On January 9, 2009, Abraham signed a quit claim deed to American Medical Professionals, LLC. It was a company owned by D.D. Moore, American's Medical Professionals, LLC, on his primary residence, 9340 Red Hog Bend Drive in Florida. And the deed was recorded on January 13, 2009. In 2007, Abraham paid $1 million for the home. Diddy said that $1,070,000 to be exact for the home. Diddy said that she had not paid Abraham any money for that signage because he had a drug problem and he would use the money to buy drugs. So he basically signed his house over to her thinking that he was going to get some type of profit back from it from her company, and she didn't give him anything. Now, I don't know if that was false or fact, but to me, Abraham didn't look like he had a drug problem. He looked like one of those guys that make herbs and juices and stuff. January 2009, Abraham went on to sign two more quit claim deeds to American Medical Professionals, LLC. Now, I don't know the meaning or cause. I don't know the meaning or the cause of none of that, because if Abraham was supposed to earn money from this, he didn't. He took nothing but loss after meeting Diddy. On February 9, 2009, Diddy registered the business Abraham Shakespeare, LLC, where she was listed as the registered agent and director. On February 10th, the next day, she opened an account at Bank of America in the name of Abraham Shakespeare, LLC, with $100 in cash. She was the only authorized agent for the account. Diddy filed some papers to allow Abraham access to the account that contained $1,095,000, over $1 million in his money. Then Diddy filed some more paperwork accusing Abraham of criminal activity and had him removed as an authorized agent. And just like that, his money slipped through his fingers. So the name Shar Krasniqi kept showing up. Money was being moved from Abraham Shakespeare's account into a Navy Federal Credit Union account to the company called A-Stat Supply, LLC. Both accounts and company belonged to Shar. The background where Abraham's body was found, that house was in Shar's name. So Shar was very much involved, I would say, but he wasn't charged with anything. And I guess to his knowledge, no criminal activity was going on. He was just basically everybody involved in his story was just doing what Diddy was asking them to do. I didn't see any videos or documentary that said that Shar was involved. I just know that him and Diddy had a lot of hand-to-hand business going on with Abraham's money. And if she doing time, he probably should be doing time too. I say that. Diddy was moving the money from Abraham's account a quarter of a million at a time. By February 28, 2009, the Abraham Shakespeare LLC account had $44,296 left in it. On November 9, 2009, Cedric Odom, that's the cousin of Abraham Shakespeare, reports the disappearance of Abraham to the Polk County Sheriff's Office. Cedric said that he had not seen Abraham since April of 09 and felt that Diddy was somehow, some way involved. Cedric later changed his story and did not want to be involved in the missing persons investigation. I wonder what caused the change of heart. Maybe it was all that cash that Diddy was throwing around to... She was really like paying people to keep them involved in her scheme, but I'll get it to that too. You guys are here as I go on in the story. So at this point, Diddy running all over town trying to pay people to say that they recently seen Abraham, or even going as far as to pay people to try to imitate his voice. So about Diddy texting people from Abraham's phone, she stated Abraham wanted her to do that so that he could chill in peace. But he was chilling all right, because this was December now, and Abraham was murdered back in April. So Didi just running all over the place. It's just like, that's a prime example of why you shouldn't commit crime and do fraud and stuff like that. It's like, after you commit the shit, you be running around trying to cover it up. You don't even really get the chance to live in what you're trying to live in that you'd have just killed somebody for. What I didn't like about Didi especially was how she kept trying to throw dirt on Abraham's name. Like, girl, you the worst thing that ever happened to him. Not only did you rob him without a gun, but you then murder him and make up lies about him. She said all of the property and money transfers that Abraham made from himself to her company was to avoid child support. And I'm like, girl, bad. He had $12 million. You call him at the back end of his riches. I'm pretty sure the children would support it. You know, it ain't that much child support in the world now. And he only had two children. I was trying not to mention so many names, but the ones that keep popping up, I have to. And one name that kept popping up was Howard Stissel. He was an attorney that worked for Didi. He was actually one of the attorneys that Didi accused of having a hand in murdering. She just flat out accused him of murdering Abraham. She accused so many people, you guys. So Howard Stissel was an attorney that was making false statements for Didi, for that cash money, baby. Everything people did for her was for the love of money, for what she was paying them to say or paying them to do. Such statements like telling a judge in a child support hearing that Abraham was out of the country receiving treatment. That's why he wasn't present. And also was quoted saying, quote, that's the last time he talked with his client in October. When they discuss child support issues, end quote. So he's just basically saying that he's spoken to Abraham in October of 2009, and Abraham's family and close friends were saying that the last time they spoken to or seen him was April of 2009. And he even went on to say that Abraham didn't sound distressed or anything in that phone conversation. Mind you, Abraham was murdered back in April. So he either fell for the okie doke or he was just in on a scam. That's how I feel. The total payments to Howard Stissel from the Abraham Shakespeare LLC account totaled $17,500. It was three checks. All checks were signed by Didi Moore. Some shit be so obvious. It be a real hard eye roll. It's like, I know a lot of times when it comes to what was said or actions, it'd be like your word versus mine or tit for tat with them actions and stuff. But some shit just be so obvious. It just be like, girl, like either you dumb as hell or you think we dumb as hell or something. So on February 21st, 2009, Didi brought a Corvette for her boyfriend, Char. She paid $70,000 for it. And on March 2009, Didi purchased a Hummer for $90,000. In December of 2009, she tried to sell the Hummer back to the dealership for $49,000, but they was not interested. They said that the economy was bad. But the owner of the dealership did find a private buyer for Didi to sell that Hummer to. And she got it sold for $49,000. She wanted them payments and that money to be broken up as well. I did say she found someone to get the Hummer up off her hands. Okay, by this time, investigators had an informant. He was once paid by Didi to call Abraham's mother, pretending to be him. His name was not present in the reports, I guess because he is a confidential informant. So they protecting his identity, even though he was speaking on the documentary that I seen, because this story was told on so many outlets. I didn't write them all down, so I'm not going to mention them. So I don't remember if I seen his name blocked out, but he was definitely that man that was doing all these deeds for Didi that turned informant for police. And Didi said upon meeting Abraham, she saw that he was being taken advantage of and decided to help him out of the goodness of her heart. It seemed to me that Didi witnessed how easy it was to take advantage of Abraham and wanted in on a piece of that pie. So she devised a plan to help Abraham leave the Lakeland area and never be heard from again. Great plan. Psych. Your plan sucks, okay? She made sure he was never heard from again, all right? So things got real desperate for Didi. By April 2009, because bank records show that Didi was in control of everything, all of Abraham's assets and accounts. He had not received not one payment from those assets as agreed, so he started to ask questions. And remember, if it don't add up, subtract. So Abraham funds was not adding up, and Didi knew it, so she had to subtract him from the equation, and she took his life, which was so wrong and bogus, because this man had a full life ahead of him. He could have really did something with his remaining money. He could have found passion or whatever passion or dreams in his head or desires in his heart. He could have brought it to fruition for himself, because I feel like at that point when he met Didi, he did what he could do for other people, and it should have been a time where he was focusing on himself. Didi thought that she was so smart too, you guys, trying to get close to Abraham's mother so she can have inside knowledge of what was going on with the investigation. When Didi paid the man to call Abraham's mother to portray himself as Abraham, his mother received that call as she was sitting down having dinner with Didi. How calculated and evil is that, you guys? It seemed like Didi really played on the elderliness of of Abraham's mother, but she was still a wise woman. I hate when people try to take advantage of old people. I hate when people try to take advantage of children and old people, be elderly people. I don't like saying old people because it seems a little disrespectful, but children and elderly people, because it's just like you think that they don't have good sense, or they losing a man, or they not in a right man, so it's easy for you to do your little shit to them. No, that do not fly over here. We respecting children, and we respect elderly people, and everybody in between. Respect is the name of the game. I'm gonna say that and reiterate that every chance I get, okay? So by December 2009, the informant who was doing the little odd jobs for Didi had flipped, and now he was working with detectives. During the following weeks, he met with Didi on several occasions. Each time, he was equipped with a digital audio recorder, in which Didi was still put up a front, trying to pretend as if Abraham was still alive. She even typed the letter that was supposed to have been from Abraham. She paid someone, not the mail carrier, to deliver it to the mailbox. And that wasn't working, because everyone kept saying was how illiterate Abraham was and how the writings couldn't have been him. And even if he didn't go all the way in school, even if he didn't make it far in school, we gotta find another word. I did not like calling this man illiterate, so I tried to put that in there as little as possible. So desperate times called for desperate measures. Didi said, fine, he's gone. Now I need to pay someone to take the blame for it, because she knew that all signs was looking towards her having something to do with Abraham's murder. And she wasn't at this point, because at first she was running amok trying to pretend as if Abraham was still alive. At this point, she knew that the walls was closing in, and she like, okay, I gotta admit that this man is not with us no more. Now I just need somebody to take the blame for it. And I'm like, girl, enough is enough. Like, come on. Like, you acting like a child. Be a responsible adult and just take responsibility for your actions. Damn, people always do shit, and then when it's time to pay the piper and shit, they just be looking like, I don't want to go to jail, or I don't want to die, or I don't want to pay this back, or whatever. It's just like, when you do your shit and you do your little actions, think about them consequences. And if you think about them consequences and you proceed to do whatever it is that you plan on doing, when the shit hit the fan, I don't want to hear no crying. You better chin up and take that shit like the G you thought you was when you was doing the shit, okay? So the informant set Didi up with an undercover posing as a criminal. And that was about to be So the informant said Didi up with an undercover cop. He was posing as a criminal that was about to be put away for a long time and didn't mind taking that murder charge for $50,000. So that's how they presented themselves to Didi. In the meeting, Didi said that she would provide the location of the body and the murder weapon as well. The police probably like, ching, ching, like, we got everything we need. Okay, a plan was devised between Didi and the informant and the undercover to dig up Abraham's body and move it to another location. So when they had arrested her that February 2nd, 2010, that was because it was for that, for wanting them tampering with a dead body. And let me see. Yep, that's what it was. So she was ready to turn over the firearm used in the murder to solidify the confession. Now, this whole story, I've been going back and forth in my mind. Is Didi mentally ill? Is she not mentally ill? I'm confused. What y'all think? Do y'all think that Didi was sick in the head or what? Like, what? Tell me what y'all think. Please send all comments and messages to loveorobsessionpodcast@gmail.com. You can even comment on the Instagram also at loveorobsessionpodcast. The murder weapon was a .38 caliber Smith & Wesson revolver. Didi then took the informant and undercover to an address at 5802 Highway 60. The date was January 25th, 2010. She showed them a 30 by 30 concrete slab that was poured on April 13th, 2009 by Didi's ex-husband. He had nothing to do with anything. She asked him to fill the hole with concrete, and he did. It was a job to him. Didi then proceeded to say that Abraham was killed inside of her office and pointed to the home that was purchased in the name of her boyfriend, Shar Krasniki. I think that's how you pronounce it. In the name of her boyfriend, Shar Krasniki, with Abraham's money. If she was a legit person, Abraham would have been alive and probably could have made some real investments with his money. So then came the search warrants, because, man, you, the whole time she's standing up there talking to these two men, she thinks she, you know, bumping it and conversing with criminals. The whole time she's talking to an undercover officer and an informant. And so she actually literally standing there with them over the what Abraham's body's supposed to be. So with this information, the undercover goes and detectives get a search warrant. So about how Abraham was murdered, Didi first said that unknown drug dealers came to her office with Abraham seeking $200,000. As a result of that meeting, the drug dealers used her gun to shoot Abraham, and all she knows is that one of them was named Ronald. And that went on. And then went on later to say that she made Ronald up. Duh, motherfucker, we know that. I couldn't be a detective, y'all. All that digging up bodies, walking, searching through swamps, interviewing dumb motherfuckers. Detectives don't get enough credit, if you ask me, because I'd be so frustrated. I'd definitely be the bad cop. In a good cop, bad cop scenario, I'd be the bad cop. Like, stop wasting our fucking time. Tell us what we need to know. I don't know, y'all, but I can be a detective. Like, you got to pick and choose your battles. And I'm not doing anything just for no money. My heart got to be into it. And I guess that's why they on the job, because they hearts really be into it. Because all the shit they be doing, and they just seeing them men in they nice suits and stuff, like 6 feet deep in a hole, digging up a remaining of a human body, like, they probably be in that and be thinking, like, I don't get paid enough for this shit. But yeah. I'm more patient than I used to be. So then Didi alluded to her son, who was 14 at the time, as to shooting Abraham. So right before that particular interview ended, because she had so many interviews, before the interview ended, came to a close, Didi asked detectives, and she said, quote, do you think... Could she keep all of her things? Okay, that's what she said. She asked detectives if she could, quote, keep all of her things, end quote, if she told the truth about who actually killed Abraham Shakespeare. That's crazy. I hate when people play like that anyway. Like, you dead ass wrong. You might as well just come clean. Like, there's only one place for you to go, and that's to hell. Go to hell. No, I'm just playing. I'm just playing. It's to jail, okay? And I heard it ain't so much different from hell, but I don't know. People just say anything. Okay, January 2010, Abraham's remains were found. Autopsy revealed Abraham was shot twice in the chest. Diddy gave multiple stories as to what happened when Abraham was murdered. Each story had her present in it, and there was no credible evidence linking anyone else to the crime. Doris Diddy Moore was sentenced to life in prison, and I'm glad Abraham's mother especially got to witness the justice behind her son's death, because she just didn't understand what happened to her son and the fact that he was missing for so long before it was discovered that he was murdered. This story was a lot, y'all. I had to take a couple of deep breaths. You guys can find pictures on Instagram at Love or Obsession Podcast. Send all messages and suggestions to loveorobsessionpodcast@gmail.com. I hope you guys enjoyed the story. I love you guys so much. Remember, if you want to help me in any way, follow the podcast, rate and review, give me 5 stars. Up there and stuck there is where I want to be. I will be going live on my Instagram, probably on my birthday or maybe sometime before. Hopefully the website will be launched before or by then. Tune in next Tuesday, you guys, for another episode. Thank you to all my day one listeners. I know who you are. I really know who missed me when I was gone. When I act like I don't know shit, y'all, I just be pretending. Okay, it's Queen, you guys. Peace out.